Genesis 8 and 18. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And I love this. The first thing that Noah did when he stepped off of that ark is he worshiped. Worship shouldn't be the third thing we do in our life. It shouldn't be the eighth thing we do in our life. It shouldn't just be something we do on Sunday mornings. It was the first thing he did when he stepped off of that ark. He built an altar unto the Lord. And he took every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offering on the altar. And the Lord smelled the sweet savor. There's something special about worship that creates a sweet savor before the Lord. You can read about it all throughout. For time's sake, I'm not going to do it. I might do it next week. But there's a sweet savor that when we begin to worship, it creates something in the atmosphere that goes up before the Lord. That when we begin to worship Him, there is something that is created. We can't smell it. We don't know it's there, but He does. It creates something in the atmosphere that gets God's attention. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in His heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. There's something about worship that gets the attention of God. It's something about worship that changes the atmosphere. There's something about worship that God begins to work in the midst of our worship. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. This morning I want to preach for just a little while about worship is who we are. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now that your spirit would move and flow in this place. Lord, that you would speak to us today, oh God, that your will and your way would be done. Lord, that you would anoint my lips of clay, that you would anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to take. In your name we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. I'd like to welcome all of our guests this morning. Thank you so much for being with us. We are honored to have you with us this morning. Amen. There's a man by the name of, I believe the way you say it is Salman Rushdie. Salman Rushdie was he's a famous writer from England. He is an Indian descent, and Salman Rushdie wrote several bestsellers. He was nominated one of the best authors in the world on multiple occasions in the late 70s and the early 80s. He was raised in a family that was that books were very, very important. Books were not a novelty, but it was something that they respected. In his way of living, that if a holy book was ever dropped, that you were to pick it up and to kiss it and literally to apologize to this book when you put it back. But his parents taught him that if he disrespected any book, that he was supposed to treat every book that way. And as a child, clumsy, very unathletic, more brains than bronze, and he was constantly dropping everything. Everything was constantly being dropped. And so he was constantly, it didn't matter if it was a comic book, if it was something he was moving for his mom so much as a cookbook or whatever it was, if he dropped it, they had to pick it up and kiss the book and put it back on the shelf, showing an apology for disrespecting it. It is a wonder that he wrote that I grew up and became an author, because what we honor defines who we are. What we honor is going to define who we are. And we've got to understand that when we come to the house of God, this really has nothing to do with us. It is all about Him. If I receive anything from God today, it's just a bonus. But the reason that we've walked into the house of God this morning is because He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is my everything. We cannot take one breath without Him. That we've got to understand that what we honor defines us. And if I don't honor Him, then He doesn't really mean that much to me. We read in this Psalms is closing out in Psalms 150. These are the last words that the psalmist leaves for us. He says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of a trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the tremble and the dance. Praise him with the stringing instruments and the organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything. It wasn't just a recommendation. It wasn't just something to say that this is what we're supposed to do. Out of all the things the psalmist could have left us with, he said, you've got to be a worshiper. There's got to be something about your life that says, I am here to bring praise to God. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. We've got to understand that worship is just not something we do on a Sunday morning, but it's got to be a way of life. It's got to be who we are. That our lives are to display worship. When we're on our job, there should be worship. When we're at our school, there should be worship in our lives. Am I saying play your Christian music and raise your hands and dance across the front of the bank? No, but I'm saying that our lives, what we live, is worship before God. When we step into this place, it's just a freedom to be able to express our worship. It's a freedom to be able to walk into this place and express how much we love God and how much we worship God. I've told the story before. We had a man in a church I worked in that he said, oh, I'm just not that emotional. I don't get into very much. I don't get that excited about stuff. I'm just even kill. And that's just the way that I am, until he won a couple thousand dollars on the Wheel of Fortune and on national TV. He danced and shouted and shook and all over that platform. And I thought to myself, he's not that emotional, I say. It's just about what we're in love with is what creates the emotion in our lives. It's what's the most important to me is what's going to create the reaction out of my life. It's what I like the most that's going to create the most excitement in my life. Are you saying, oh, I've got to be able to run, dance, cut car? No, but there's got to be something inside that is reaching out. You don't have to be the most extravagant worshiper. There's just got to be something inside that says, God, I'm longing for you. I'm longing for you, God. God, I want to touch you today. God, I want you to know that you are my Alpha and my Omega. You are my everything. Before he built a house, he worshiped. Before he created a plan to figure out how he was going to survive, he worshiped. Before he made one request of what God needed to do in his life, Noah worshiped. Before he celebrated living almost 400 days upon the water, he worshiped. We've got to understand that Noah understood that he had to establish something that was before him and everybody else, that it doesn't matter what happens in my life. First and foremost, I am a worshiper of the Most High God. What is interesting to me is we have to understand that worship never makes sense. It doesn't make sense. It's not supposed to make sense because it's not about us. He came off of the ark, and I might use this again next Sunday, but he came off of the ark. Everything has been destroyed, every animal, everything. He brought two by two on, a male and female, onto the ark, and then he took seven of every clean beast onto the ark with him. And the scripture says that when he walked off of that ark, he began to sacrifice. Now, in my logic mind, I say, there's nothing left. These animals are pretty important to the us sustaining a way of life from here on out. If we sacrifice this animal, if we get rid of this animal, if we take the life of this animal, then there's a good chance that this animal could possibly become extinct one day. And so considering the circumstances that we're in right now, I need to hold this back. I need to keep this for myself. I need to make sure next year when things are better, next year when things have multiplied, next year when things are a little bit different in my life, next year when things are going a little bit different or better than they are right now, I'll make a double sacrifice a month from now, a year from now. I'll do something else on down the road. But right now, it just makes sense to keep everything that I've got. You see, the deal is it doesn't matter how much sense that it makes. He understood the concept of when I worship, he'll take care of everything else. He understood the concept of, I don't know how this is all going to work out, but one thing I do know is that I owe my Lord God everything. I don't know how the bills are going to be paid next month. I don't know what the doctor's going to say next year. But one thing I do know is I'll take care of what I can take care of, and he'll reproduce whatever needs to be reproduced in my life. If I do this, it's going to cost me. No, if you do this, you will be blessed. If I do this, it's going to affect my bottom line. No, if you do this, God says, you think it's going to be extinct, but I am the one that reproduces everything. I am the one that gives back. I am the one that owns a cattle on a thousand hills. I am the one that fixes heels and delivers. There isn't one thing that you can do all by yourself. It's in Jericho when God begins to speak. March around the walls six times. See, you've got to understand the reason that worship is so important is because when you understand who you're worshiping and who he is, it doesn't matter what exactly the circumstances look like, because he's got everything else in control. That's why it's important that we get into the presence of an almighty, awesome God on a regular basis, because when he's spoken to you, it doesn't matter if they race chariots around the wall. If you've been in his presence, Joshua stood in the presence of an angel with a sword, and he fell down, and the scripture says he worshiped. He was in the presence of God, and he understood that I've been there, I've spoken to God, and I understand that everything is going to be all right. That's why he could walk into the midst of that million or so Israelites and say, here's the battle plan. You're going to march and you're going to keep your mouth shut. I don't want you to talk from this day forward till we let out a shout after we march around the city of Jericho. From this moment till that moment that we shout, I don't want you to say a word, but God's going to deliver us. I want you to begin to march around that city. Every day we're going to march, and on the last day we're going to march with a shout. There's going to come a moment in time that we're going to stop, and we're going to let out a shout, with a great shout. And this is Joshua's words to the people, and the walls of the city shall fall down flat. If you look at that word shout, it's literally a word that says ruha. That word ruha is not just a word that is used everywhere in the Bible. Most of the places that it's used, it has something to do with triumph. It has something to do with victory. It has something to do with splitting the atmosphere. A shout, an alarm of joy. It is something that is a joyful noise. Something that is sounding the alarm of triumph that is going forth. It just wasn't a scream of fear. It wasn't a scream of doubt. But there was something that was happening at that moment in time. Because when you begin to read this word in Psalms 41 and 11, it says, by this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemies do not triumph over me. That word triumph is the same word that they use in shout in Joshua. The Psalms 47 and 1, to the chief musician and a psalm of the sons of Korah. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. They weren't standing there in fear that day. There was a praise that went forth. There was something of expectation. They understood that it didn't matter how big it looked, that there is nothing that could stop when God is involved in the situation. Psalm 66 and 1, to the chief musician, a song or psalm, make a joyful noise. That same word there, noise, is the same one used in Joshua for shout. It's linked with joyful so many times throughout the Bible. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Psalms 95 and 1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise, a joyful shout to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and making a joyful noise. There it is again, unto him with the psalms. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. For his hands formed dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. For he says, for we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today we will hear his voice. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. These are not just things that they are recommendations of maybes. These are things that happen when they begin to move into the presence of an almighty, awesome God. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. I'm in Psalms 100. Know ye that the Lord is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Is Paul and Silas in Acts 16 as they sat there in that dungeon. See, you've got to understand that nothing happens without God knowing about the situation. When you begin to read about the situation where Paul has a dream to go to Macedonia, he has a dream from God that called him to that place. He knew that he was in the will of God. And when you're in the will of God, sitting in a dungeon with chains, it's all right, because you know, as long as you're in his will, as long as you've heard from him, as long as you've been in his presence and you felt his power, and he's reassured you that everything's going to be all right. That's why they could stand there and begin to sing, chained to that floor. The scripture says they sang the great Hallels. The great Hallels was a bunch of scriptures running from Psalms 119 through like Psalms 140. In those scriptures, they sing about things trembling. They sing about deliverance. They sing about hope. They sing about chains being broken. How can you sing about a thing like that in a time like this? Because worshiping is who I am. It's not just something I do when everything's good. It's something I do because I know that if I can get into his presence, anything is possible. I don't have to have the greatest sermon. I've just got to have the ability to get my hands in the air and say, God, I got to get into your presence. God, I want to get close to you. What are you doing, Paul and Silas? Be quiet. You don't understand. I might be in the darkest place of my life, but I know that God knows where I am because I got to this place trying to follow after him. I know that God knows what I'm going through. Why? Because I got to this place trying to find where he wants me to be. Why don't you be quiet? You don't understand. This is what I do. why don't you just calm down a little bit? We could have visitors here this Sunday. Who cares? You've got to understand that when they walk into this place, they don't come in here for a calm, cool, collected to take a look at the frozen chosen. They know what a Pentecostal is, and I don't want them to leave disappointed. God, I want to get into your presence. God, I want them to feel your presence. God, I want to make a sacrifice unto you. God, I want to make sure, God, that I get into your presence. It was Mary that made a sacrifice at the feet of Jesus, and the professionals, the ones that had been in it for a long time, looked and mocked and laughed and said that worship is a waste. And Jesus said, wherever there is a memorial, wherever my word is preached from this day forth, it will be as a memorial unto what has happened here today. Why? Because what we can look like is silly, or what we can look at is waste, or what we can look at is say, well, you know, you just, God says that's a memorial. That's something that's being built. That's something that is going to be there. That's something that's creating a sweet savor into the nostrils. Well, they don't do that in China because they can't. Oh, they don't do that. You've got to understand, when you know who God is and you know what he's brought you through and you know what he's brought you from and you can remember that, if there's not something inside of you that just wants to say, thank you, God. God, you don't have to do cartwheels. You don't have to dance. You don't have to get crazy. Thank you, God. God, you are so good. God, you are so wonderful. God, you are so worthy. God, you've never left me nor forsaken me. God, I thought I was all by myself, but you showed up right on time. The man came. Says in Mark 5:1, and there came unto the other side of the sea and under the country of the Gadarenes, and there came out of the ship immediately, and they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit who had been dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him. No, not with chains. He would break chains. He would attack people. He was forced to live in the tombs because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken into pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day was he in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus, we've got to understand that it's not about what we can do and what we can't do. He couldn't be controlled by a man. He couldn't be controlled by a city. He couldn't be stopped. But every devil inside of him could have been, they said, legion, from 1,000 to 3,000 devils that could not be bound. They had to respect the act of worship, because it says when they saw him afar off that he ran and worshiped him. It doesn't matter what you're going through. If 3,000 devils can't stop a man from worshiping, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter the circumstances. It doesn't matter what's going on. I can still worship. If a man that is bound by all kinds of stuff can stop and say, God, you are worthy. God, you are my everything. Oh, that's why we've got to be a worshiping church. That's why this year, every time we walk in here on a Sunday morning, it's got to be an act of worship. Every time that we come to this place, because when we worship, something happens in the atmosphere. When we worship, chains are broken. When we worship, people are delivered. When we worship, people are healed. When we worship, something happens, because where there is worship, there will always be God. A few years back, some of you probably remember the story up in northern Alaska. Point Barrow, there were three whales that were trapped in ice. They found them, and they began to cut holes in the ice and try to coax them to the next hole. Several weeks this went on. They'd cut huge holes in the ice and then try to get the whales to find their way to that next hole. We're not talking about just breaking a little ice. We're talking about feet and feet of ice they begin to cut, trying to get to a place that a Russian tanker could bust through the ice to get these whales out. And they would come up for a little air, and they would go back down. And one of the whales ended up dying in the midst of it, and they just disappeared. They never saw it again. They named the whales, and they would try to create a spot where they could come up and get a little air just to try to survive. If we're not careful, we'll allow ourselves to get to such a cold place in our walk with God that it doesn't matter how hard we cut holes in the ice and try to bring you to a place. It doesn't matter how much we work trying to get you to a place where the tanker can bust through and create an avenue of escape. We can allow ourselves to get to that place. I've got to stay away from it. I can't just come up and get a little breath every now and again and hope that I'm going to make it. It's got to be who we are. It's got to be the atmosphere that we create in our lives. It's got to be who we are before we walk through those back doors, because this would just be an extension of who we are, not just what we do on Sunday mornings. You read in Chronicles, the second chapter, 2 Chronicles, the 17th chapter, it says, "And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the land, and they were around about Judea, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. Also, some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents to tribute silver, and the Arabians brought him flocks and 7,700 rams and 7,700 goats." This was the life that Jehoshaphat lived, that there was so afraid of him, that God had put his presence on him so strong, that there was such a respect and a fear of the Lord that fell upon all the surrounding kingdoms, that they literally came and threw things at the feet of Jehoshaphat. But what you've got to understand, that there are going to be moments and times in your life where God wants to remind you that he is still God, and God all by himself. And there came a moment that God lifted his hand in chapter 20, and all of a sudden the Moabites and the Amorites begin to make up their minds that they were going to come against Jehoshaphat. He'd never experienced a situation like this. He'd never had to go to war, because the blessings of God had always been upon him. He was used to men throwing money at his feet and bringing 7,000 herds of goats and sheep into his to him. He was used to the finer things in life, but God lifted his hand at one moment in time, and all of a sudden everything changed in chapter 20. And in verse 15 it says, "And he said, and hearken ye all of Judea, and ye the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid or dismayed." See, you've got to understand that when the enemy comes in like a flood, it's not because God was asleep. It's not because God doesn't know what's going on. It doesn't mean because God doesn't have a clue what's going on in your life. He's sitting there wondering, "Where are you, God?" And God saying, "I'm still exactly where I was when they were throwing money at you. I'm still the same God that was there when they brought in all the herds. I'm still the same God that was in control when everything looked like it was in control to you. I haven't left you. I haven't forsaken you. And I've still got it under control. Be not dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Tomorrow ye go down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. And ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Yet yourselves stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judea and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground, ground, and all of Judea and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Now let's jump to verse 21 and let's see how they went out to battle. The scripture says, and when they had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. I preached a sermon a couple of months back about this. This was a part of the great Hallel. It was something when the preacher would get up and say, he delivered us from Egypt, and they would cry out, and his mercy endureth forever. He would say that the Red Sea was split open, and this congregation would shout back, and his mercy endureth forever. It was a statement that said not only was he good then, but he is good now, and he will be good in our future. And they got together that day, and they began to march. And the choir got out front, and they said, praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Why? Because he's been good to me yesterday. He's going to deliver me today, and he's going to keep me in my future. Brother Pugh, I'm going through it. Then you need to worship. Why? Because if he brought you to this place, he's already got a plan. So you might as well worship. You might as well worship. Hey, Paul, Silas, what are you doing? He brought me to this place, and I'm going to worship in this place. What's going on in the situation? Hey, Joshua, you're looking at walls that they can run chariots around. It's all right. I'm going to worship. Mary, you've been bound. Mary, you've been a prostitute. Mary, you've got issues. It's all right. I'm going to worship myself to the other side of this situation. Jehoshaphat, they're not throwing money at you anymore. They're not bringing flocks. They're coming to kill your children. They've taken over your home. They're going to destroy your marriage. They're going to rip your children limb for limb. What are you going to do about it? I'm going to trust. I'm going to worship. I'm going to be here because he brought me to this place. And if he brought me here, I'm going to worship my way through. When's a good time to worship? Anytime. Job just found out every one of his kids died. Job 1 and 20, and Job arose and he went and he rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. He said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked I will return thither. The Lord God gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, we've got to understand that worship is just not something we do on a Sunday morning. Brother Pugh, how am I going to get through this? You're going to worship your way through this. Brother Pugh, how am I going to get deliverance? You're going to worship your way through this. How am I going to get my mind right? Where do I start? You start by worshiping. How do I get this thing together? My marriage is falling apart. Where do I start, Brother Pugh? You start by worshiping. God, I trust you. God, I believe in you. God, I don't know how I got to this place, but God, I'm going to be a worshiper. I'm going to be a worshiper. I'm going to be a worshiper. Moses, Noah, you're getting a little bit excited. Why don't you just calm down? And when things are going better, we'll do this next year. He said, you don't understand how good God's been to me. Bring me that one. They could go into extinction. That's not extinction. That's not my problem. I've got to worship. Bring me that one. You know, there's only six more of those. Bring me that one. What are you doing? It's not my problem. He's the one that is in charge of a cattle on a thousand hills. He has my future in the palm of his hand. He's the one that said he would never leave me nor forsake me. So the first thing that I'm going to do when I step off this boat is I am going to worship him. Hallelujah. As we all stand this morning, you've got to understand the importance of being a worshiping church, because a worshiping church can go through anything. A worshiping church can make it through whatever happens. A worshiping church is a revival church. A worshiping church is a church where miracles, signs, and wonders can happen. A worshiping church is a church where things can be changed and people can be delivered. A worshiping church is a place when you're too weak to get before God all by yourself, you can walk into his presence. Why? Because there's been a church that has entered into his courts. A church that has made up their mind that they're going to be a worshiping church. Oh, I'm not talking about being out of order and nutty and crazy. No, I'm talking about when people walk into this place, there are people that are desperate to get into the presence of an almighty, awesome God. There are people that are desperate to say, God, I'm going beyond the veil today. God, I'm going beyond all of my problems. God, I've got all kinds of problems. But God, I want you to know that I trust you. I'm bound by chains and I sit in this dungeon, but I trust you and I'm going to worship you in the middle of this. Life has been good, but now it's all fallen apart and I don't know what to do. And Jehoshaphat's only idea that he could come up with is, we're just going to worship our way into battle. God never told him to do that, but Jehoshaphat understood that where there is worship, there is victory. There is victory. There is victory. There's some people in this room that you need to go beyond yourself this morning and say, God, I've got to get into your presence. You might just need to let the devil know this morning, devil. You might have taken my health, but you haven't taken my dance. You might have taken my kids right now, but you haven't taken my worship. If I was brought to this place, he's going to bring me through this place. You might have touched my finances, but if my finances have been touched, God knows all about my situation. So I'm just going to worship my way through. What I'm saying this morning is simplistic. It's nothing you've never heard before, but there's some people that need to be reminded. You're a worshiper. First and foremost, you're a worshiper. Before all else, you're a worshiper. Before anything else that goes on, first and foremost, you're a worshiper. Before you're a parent, you're a worshiper. Before you're a husband or a wife, you are a worshiper. Before you walk onto your job, you are a worshiper. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I don't know what they're going to sing this morning, but I think they're ready. I think there's some people that need to gather around this altar this morning. You don't have to dance. You don't have to go crazy. I'm not trying to get you to be. Just come to this place and say, God, I'm going to worship. I'm going to be a worshiper. God, everything's going good in my life right now, and I'm going to be a worshiper in the good times. I'm going to be a worshiper in the bad times. I'm going to be a worshiper in the level times. I'm going to be a worshiper when my kids are saved and when my kids aren't saved. Why? Because if I can become a worshiper, I can go through anything. If I can learn to be a worshiper, it doesn't matter what goes on in my life. It doesn't matter the giants that I look at. It doesn't matter the lions that roar. It doesn't matter how deep the dungeon might be. It doesn't matter how black the night is. If I can worship, there's light. If I can worship, there's deliverance. If I can worship, there's something that can shake in his presence. Brother Pugh, I've been worshiping a long time. Keep worshiping. Brother Pugh, it hasn't changed yet. That's all right. Keep worshiping. Hey, they're still backslid. Hey, keep worshiping. Just keep worshiping. Just keep worshiping. Just keep worshiping. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, there's hallelujah. Deliverance. Healing in his name. Victory. to praise and worship of our Savior. Oh. Deliverance, deliverance in Jesus' name. Savior's deliverance.
I'm gonna worship
healing
when it's gone.
His name,
I'm gonna worship when everything is
power in the Savior.
Oh,
we got a right to praise.
The
worship on a shame. There's deliverance.
Oh.
Deliverance in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I'm gonna shout for joy because you set me free. Sing and dance to deliver. The King of Kings, the deliverance in His name. I'm gonna shout for joy because He set me free. Sing and dance, He delivered me. Sing my praise to the King of Kings, the deliverance in His name. I'm gonna shout for joy because He set me free. Sing and dance, He delivered me. Sing my praise to the King of Kings. There's deliverance in His name. There's deliverance, healing in His name. Victory, power in the same. There's deliverance, healing in His name. Victory, power in the same. We've got a right to praise and worship and shame. There's deliverance, deliverance in Jesus' name.